And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 21, and today it will be top 5 comics you should be reading. Now, this is going to be, it could be a, more or less, more likely going to be a title that's ongoing right now or has, no, actually it'd have to be ongoing, I think. Did we agree on that?
We did not, but that seemed
if not, then that's fine, because, but anyway, basically what we're going for is something that we're reading that we don't think enough people's reading, or it's got a bad rap, yada yada, and hey, we think you should check it out. This is our opinion. You might think it's crap, but once you read it, but this is what we're going for. We got some alternates here. I think each one of us has alternates in case somebody picks somebody else's book. That's usually how we do it. So, anyway,
if you don't agree, and if you don't agree, get your own damn podcast, because that's what we did.
Well, yes, we did, didn't we? Anyway, I'm Chris Mosby.
Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
And we try not to spoiler too much something. In this case, we probably will to maybe get people to jump on, but heads up on that. You hear something, we talk about a book, it sounds interesting, and we start spoiling, just pause it, go read it, and then come back, and we'll talk about it some more. So anyway, who wants to start off with their number 5?
Well, mine are no particular order, so let me go ahead and start off.
Oh, well, it doesn't – yeah, if you don't have any particular order, that's fine.
And plus, I want to get this one out there before I know one of you might get it out there. Oh, so. Okay. The first one that I want to talk about is The Shade from DC.
Yes, I didn't even think of that. Nice. I just assumed everybody was reading that.
Ah, well, according to the news sites, not enough people are. There was scuttlebutt around the water cooler that it may not make its 12-issue run.
Oh, that would be a shame.
It would be a huge shame. We talked about it last week, I think, and it's it's a fun book. It's James Robinson back in Opal City.
Oh, yeah.
No Starman this time. Which,
no.
Kramer might be...
at least no Jack Knight anyway.
Right. Okay. Well, so far, we saw Michael. McCall or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is The Shade from the Starman series from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And also from recently from Justice League, from James Robinson's run on Justice League.
Yes, and this is a lot... By leaps and bounds better than that. As a matter of fact, I just got through reading issue 3. Just to interrupt you for just a second.
Sure.
On the cover of number 3, there's a quote from MTV Geek, and it says, "This is a perfect comic book." And that is high praise. It's very close to that. So that's what I think anyway. Go ahead.
No, I agree. I was just going to start number 3 earlier today and then got interrupted by a screaming kid, so I will be reading a little bit later. We're going through the terrible 9s here in our house right now.
I see. Well, I have to say, this is one of the best issues. I mean, it's only 3 issues in, but it's just really good, high-quality stuff.
Oh, 2 hooked me. There's a scene at the beginning of number 2, or ended at number 1 with a cliffhanger by him being decapitated by everyone's favorite assassin, Deathstroke.
That was classic.
It was great. And then number 2 opens up by him saying, "Yeah, you decapitated me, but it wasn't me." I mean, very smug, very smarmy, but likable at the same time. Kind of a rogue, not quite hero, not quite villain. That's how he's kind of been portrayed in the Starman mythos since James Robinson brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's how he was back in the Golden Age, or even I don't remember him being quite like that in the Silver Age. A great, great book. I highly recommend it. It's only 12 issues to commit to. Mm-hmm. Digitally, it's that's $24. Again, I have talked about my buying limitations, but I. Yeah. I'm making room in this, making room for this title in my.
Oh, absolutely! If you're going to be looking at anything, you definitely this is one to look for.
And you know, despite what I said before, it seems to be slightly tied into the new DC universe. Or maybe it's just, you know, they reboot Deathstroke for this book or something, but that was clearly the new Deathstroke in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyhow, that's my first of my five.
Yeah.
It's a great choice.
Yeah, that is a good one.
All right, check mark. All right.
Yeah, I really liked this issue. It was really good. Him jumping all over the place and all this different stuff, and you get to see him use his powers a little bit more, and a lot of some metaphysical stuff going on. And
I like that it's all over the DCU. Like, we're getting to see France, mm-hmm. we're getting to see Australia, we're getting to see different corners of the DCU, which is cool. It's mm-hmm. planted in DC, but it's also not so rooted that you need to know everything that's going on. You get to see the wider DCU, and it's kind of neat seeing some of the other characters out there. And James Robinson is usually pretty good at creating some pretty memorable characters. So
yeah, even ones that just you'd think would be throwaway ones, they're very memorable, I think. So.
Oh, and I love that he's bringing in also some history. He's got the Von Hammer character in there.
Yeah.
The descendant of Enemy Ace.
I thought there might be something in there, but I didn't catch it.
Yep. Von Hammer was, I don't remember his first name, but Von Hammer was the Nazi Enemy Ace from the World War II books that were done, you know, famously drawn by Kubert, I think. Was he
actually Nazi, or was he just German?
He fought for the Nazi. He had the big German symbol on the side of his plane, and he answered to the Third Reich. He always kind of did the right thing, though, at the end of the story, if I remember correctly. But not to get completely off topic here.
No, that's fine. It's just I know my at least one of my friends that is a big buff, World War II buff, would want to know the distinction there.
Well, if someone wants to research that for me, please do. The ones I remember, he was always, again, he was a member of the Third Reich, but, you know, sort of...
I take that back. It's World War I. I'm looking it up now.
Oh, it is? Well, yeah. Then I'm completely wrong. But it's still Von Hammer. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. It is Von Hammer. World War I, pilot flying for the Germans.
Never mind. What I'm thinking of the couple appearances, it seemed like it was World War II, but it's been a long time since I read an Enemy Ace book. So
me too. I don't think I ever have, but
okay.
But I know of the character.
And like you, Murray, I like the fact that he's going to places that are not specifically DC Universe places. Like what they're doing in Nightwing. He's not necessarily going to DC Universe, United States locations. He's in the non-traditional places. There we go.
There was some World War II action with this character, too.
All right.
So, yeah. I'm reading through here.
That's what I remember it, so.
Yeah. Anyway, that's cool. Was in an Enemy Ace appears in a teaser of Batman the Brave and the Bold episode, Aquaman's Outrageous Adventure, voiced by John DiMaggio. He tries to shoot down Batman's bat plane before he convinces him to team up to destroy an alien cannon. So there you go.
Excellent.
Well, all right then, continue.
I'm going to go with another DC miniseries, since those poor old miniseries seems to be getting they're just not getting the sales that the initial 52 did. And the one I'm picking is The Ray.
Ooh. Oh, yes, that was actually really good.
It was awesome. Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti are the writers. Jamal Igel is the illustrator, and it's excellent. It was such a good first issue. It was awesome.
I agree. Remember when we were talking, I think it was last week or week before, about a fun comic where Firestorm is not, at least... up to what I've read so far, I have number four, and I look through it, and it's like it might be a little bit more interesting, but this was a fun comic book.
This is the way to do a first issue. You get
yeah.
you get an origin thrown in there. You get supporting cast. You get an idea of the setting and the locale. It was funny. Like it was really good. It was these guys channeling their Power Girl stories more so than their Jonah Hex stories.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
yeah. But I thought it was awesome. Like I got a really good sense of each of the characters. There's a couple of little conflicts set up. And it's just got a fun tone throughout the whole book. Like it's just fun and crazy, and you got giant telepathic jellyfish floating around San Diego and
you don't see that very often.
Not in San Diego, no. But yeah, it's fun. One. I highly recommend it.
And I just
to see where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's smart that they're doing it as a miniseries. I mean, it's what they should be doing with a lot of the B-level characters, and which is not to say that, you know, there shouldn't be the Justice League International book. There shouldn't be a couple of the others as trying to go ongoing, but doing it as a mini. That, you know, they're hedging their bets, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, like you said, that's a good, that is a good way to do it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. We just need to keep up their feet.
I wondered if anybody's going to bring that up.
And he's naked.
Yes, he is. Unfortunately, he's not able to wear clothes, at least not yet. So he plays some tricks.
That out.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Have them visit with Flash for a little bit. They'll work out the whole can't wear clothes thing.
Yeah.
Or they won't, and it'll just be one of those kooky little things that...
Yeah, which I think that was kind of cool how they did that. You could tell that they don't take themselves too seriously. Which is, you know, it's good. I mean, sometimes... You know, I wouldn't want that kind of humor in a Batman book, but obviously, the way they did it here, it's good. So, yeah, but yeah, I liked it a lot.
Me too.
Yes. Okay, well, it is.
And the hippie parents, they kill me. Hippie
oh my parents. Gosh, yeah. Oh,
that's great stuff. That is great stuff.
That was my question. Neither of the parents looked Korean to me.
Well, he's probably adopted, I would think. But yeah, that they didn't really explain that.
Well,
they talked about his jump, but they didn't explain why he's Korean and why his parents aren't. So, yeah.
I don't think it mentions whether it's his natural father or mother. You're right.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, that's true.
For somebody that's adopted, they might not even think of that. If they were raised from birth, so. But I'm sure it'll come up eventually. Alrighty. Well, I kind of put mine prioritized, but it doesn't really matter. I put one of my first ones would be Invincible. Anybody?
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Anybody that is a fan of Walking Dead. Robert Kirkman, and I thought about putting that on there, but I doubt we need to help it along. But Invincible was what actually got me started on liking Robert Kirkman's work, and it is about it starts out very early. The Invincible character he's still in high school, and he develops superpowers all of a sudden. Well, he develops superpowers when he realizes that, I guess he already knew. I forget how that went. Anyway, his father is the greatest superhero in the world. And I'm not going to spoil any of the plot because that's what got me hooked. But basically, he's the son of a Superman-type character. He develops superpowers and starts going on his own. He takes on the name Invincible. And it's pretty much his career all the way up. I just recently, and anybody that's on my Facebook saw the picture of my wife got the compendium number one. It has the first 48 issues in it, which
wow,
yeah, it's huge. And it was on Thwipster for half cover, so it got it real cheap. But yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge book. I don't know how many pages this thing's got, but it's well over 1,600, I think. Thing must weigh about 2 pounds. It's yeah, it's huge. But yeah, I first started reading it. Newsarama was doing the thing, and that's how I got reading Powers too. They would show a page every day for free, and I got to reading it. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll get the. And I read Image has the first comic online for free as well, and I was intrigued enough. I got the first trade and just absolutely fell in love with it. So I've got the first 5 trades, and then I started getting it monthly, and I've been collecting it ever since. And it's kind of gotten late because of you know, all of the Walking Dead stuff, but I'm telling you, this. It's one of those books where you think you know what's going on, and all of a sudden, wham, you know. And I love this book so much, that's why it's like, okay, well, see, Robert Kirkman's writing this Walking Dead. Everybody's talking about that. Well, I'll check it out. And, of course, I got hooked on that, you know, 7 hardcovers later. So, yeah, that's my book. You don't hear about it much anymore. It's still going on. You know, the character's a lot older. There's been all kinds of conflict and war, and like Walking Dead, even though this is a superhero book, this isn't exactly one for kids. Because after in about issue 8, you see him get into the gruesome, bloody gore that that he is known for in Walking Dead. He does like his gore, and when he fights, people get hurt. He gets hurt. You know, arms get torn off. It's brutal, but it's just a really good book. So anyway, that's my spiel.
Does it kind of age along with him?
Yes, it definitely does. Okay. Yeah, it definitely does. Yeah, because he's in college at one point, and you know, and he's still superheroing and has a girlfriend, ends up telling her, and there's travel to other universes and. Clones and aliens and just all kinds of great stuff.
Is there a lot of focus on his excuse me, on his personal life?
There is some, yeah. It's kind of Spider-Man-y in that aspect at first, because he's trying to keep it secret, and then, you know, he ends up being working for the government, like a global protection thing. It's run through the UN. And, you know, there's relationships with the other heroes from that universe. There's some crossovers with the rest of the Image universe, as a matter of fact. There's a couple issues here and there that they do that. And, yeah, it's really good stuff. And, you know, Kirkman can do the superhero thing. And the characters he comes up with. And, yeah, I mean, it's serious stuff.
Okay.
Very cool. Serious. But yeah, you could get the trades pretty cheap. In fact, I'll probably be selling the first 5 trades since I have the humongous compendium here. You could really hurt somebody with that thing. It's soft cover, but man, that's got some weight to it. So, but anyway, yeah, I've been reading it for quite a while. I think it's up into 85, 86, so I've been reading it. I think I started in the 20s is when I started, like 25, 26 is when I started buying it monthly. But yeah, I've been getting it ever since. And you can get it online. He does day and date with that stuff. So anyway.
It's got heft.
Yes, it does. It is – it's exactly like Walking Dead. You read it to the end of it, and it's like, whoa, he didn't do that. You know, almost every month is like that. And it goes places that you would never think. And that's something you don't usually see in a superhero comic book. So, there you go.
All right, cool. All right, well, I guess it's on to me again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with The Boys.
Oh.
Currently printed by Dynamite. Started off over at DC Wildstorm, but then got a little too adult for their tastes.
Yeah, that's too adult for my taste, that's for sure.
It's pure. It's not 100% all the time. I will grant that this book has its off issues, but yeah. Overall, each storyline tends to be a lot of fun, a lot of violence, a lot of sex, a lot of adult language, but mercilessly taking on the superhero concept with this group of five characters who have empowered themselves with super strength and just basic nigh invulnerability like the Tick, and they have decided that the supers of this world that they live in are not necessary. They don't belong, and they've taken it upon themselves to embarrass and kill and rid the world of the of the scourge of these supers who think that they are above the laws and et cetera, of man. And great characters in there with Wee Huey and Butcher, mm-hmm. and the female who has this little Asian girl who is probably the baddest ass of the badasses in the team. Mother's Milk, big black guy who has an odd need to drink his mom's milk, and the Frenchman.
Yeah, see, that book is one of those that doesn't cross the line. It rockets over it at warp speed. I mean, I'm not approved by any means, but I just I couldn't get through the first issue. It was just way over the top for me.
Well, Garth Ennis, just that's always been his thing. It's just push the limits. Think of Hitman. This is like Hitman without the comics code staring over the shoulder.
They've been talking about making a movie for a while.
Oh, The Boys. I hope they don't. Even as a fan, I know it's over the top. And the other thing is, it's coming to an end. It's only going to go up to issue 72, I think, right now. It's mm-hmm. It's got about less than a year to go, I think.
Yeah.
In fact,
I think they want Simon Pegg to play the one character with the beard.
Wee Huey. Wee Absolutely. Huey.
Yeah. He says he thinks he's too old to play that part, though, but I just happened to catch that the other day.
I can understand that. I suppose. He would be a good choice. I mean, visually, he looks just like the character.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah.
But, Garth Ennis originally started this with Derek Robinson back in the day, and Derek Robinson had to move on, and Russ Braun took over the art. And that's a nice thing. Different artists on there, but almost flawlessly the same style. So there's no jarring switch in art styles there. Honestly, do not share this with the kids.
Oh.
Not a kid's book.
I wouldn't even have it in the same house as the kids. that's just my opinion, though.
He does stuff like it's the superhero's fault that 9/11 happened. They were bored, and they decided to – the main super decided to go ahead and let's just go ahead and crash a plane into a bridge. It wasn't the Twin Towers this time. It was a bridge. Mm-hmm. But there's a it implies that that's the reason that Butcher is on his ass all the time. Anyhow, it's a long, drawn out story, but mm-hmm. entertaining from front to back. And you're right, not for everyone though, Chris. But
yeah, well, I mean, I know there's all kinds of people that love it. That's why it's still being published. It's just not any realm my cup of tea.
Oh, the numbers on it suck, actually.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'm always hearing about it all the time, so.
Well, because it's a.
Just because it's so over the top, I guess.
Yeah.
A cult classic.
Yeah, reviewers like it. But
see, that's what I don't understand. I don't know. I guess the whole superhero deconstruction thing is gone on so long. They keep trying to recapture what Watchmen was. And in my opinion, his idea of doing that in that was to just go way out there. And but anyway, that's just my opinion.
And he does. He goes way out there. And I will be getting – I'm actually held off on getting the trades. I'm going to – when the series is over, I'm going to trade the whole thing front to back, including the miniseries that spawned out of it.
I think there's like a deluxe hardcover sitting up on the shelf at the comic shop I go to here, Popo's in Tupelo. Yeah.
But just to give people an idea, there was a miniseries that spun out of it. Called Hero Gasm. So,
yes, I remember seeing that.
And the miniseries matter. I mean, it's a very self-contained world. So you think these miniseries don't have impact, but they keep referring to them as in the regular monthly book. But they're not mandatory either.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my second pick, The Boys.
Yeah, and just a note for a second. Dynamite puts out some good stuff. If you're looking for, I mean, because they do, they're going to do another Lone Ranger series. They do, 140 different Green Hornet series right now. They've got the rights to the Shadow. They're going to be doing that stuff, and Alex Ross does a lot with that. But they do some good stuff. So, and they seem to be picking up a lot of licensing from different places like that. But I've loved the Lone Ranger series they did. Zorro, for example, I'm still reading the Zorro Rides Again. So, yeah, they do some good stuff.
And here's an interesting one. They've got Xena, but they don't have Hercules.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is, but it's just a rights thing.
And they're going to do a Game of – and they do a Game of Thrones book too, don't they?
Yes, they do, and they're doing a thing right now if you're a Kirby fan called Kirby Genesis, and they're doing all these characters that – he did, and I think they're, you know, of course, working with the Kirby Estate, and Kurt Busiek and some other is doing the main title, and they got some other titles coming out. I think is either Phil Hester or Andrew Parks is doing one. I read some of it, but like we've talked about before, Kirby is to me, so I didn't keep with it, but I've got several issues of that. So.
Well, they've got a good stable of creators, too. Yeah.
Yes, they do. They do. They have to do some really good work.
So there we go.
All right, then.
I'm going to go for my next pick. I'm going to pick – I was going to pick a title. I think I'm going to go with John Byrne, his stuff at IDW.
Oh, okay.
He's doing – right now he's doing a miniseries called Cold War that is about three issues in. It's a four-issue miniseries, so there's three issues out. The fourth issue, I think, is coming out in a week or two. But previous to that, he had put out a 10-issue mini series that finally kind of completed his Next Men story.
Mm-hmm.
From the – I don't know. When did he put that out? The 90s?
Yeah, I was talking about the first collection a couple of months – a few shows ago, yeah.
Yeah. So his Next Men stuff was great, and I was thrilled to see like the story finally, you know, get its conclusion. But he's going to be coming back with what's it called? Next Men Next or something. That's not what it's called, but there's going to be like a continuing part to it. But in between those two parts, he's put out this series called Cold War, which I wasn't going to pick up to begin with, but there was a slow week at the comic shop, and they had all three issues there, so
there you go.
I picked them up, and it's good. It's kind of like a James Bond saga story, set certainly before World War II. I want to say maybe in the 20s or the 30s, in Britain, and it's good spy stuff. Like it's his main character is very much like a James Bond type, but it involves Russians and the M16, whatever that is,
MI6,
whatever the British Secret Service is there.
Yeah, that's the CIA equivalent.
Yeah. And there's people trying to jump over to Russia, and it's cool. You've got like 1920s race car driving, and you've got double what do you call that? Stabbing people in the back, and you've got it's cool, and it's John Byrne, so I always love his artwork, and this is good John Byrne. It's good detailed work, and it's, if you like John Byrne, this is a good book. Now, having said that, the first issue has 11 pages of like wordless story jibber jabber. So if you can get past the wordless dumpness, once it starts with the words, it's good. But
that's funny.
Wow, it's just
that's fine.
Is it thinky?
No, it's stupid, pretentious. I'm not going to put this in here because I'm such a great writer. But it would have been helpful to add like a thud or a oh my or a meanwhile thrown in.
Yeah.
To not do that is just silly, but whatever. Whatever, get past that, and it's a good tale for sure.
Oh, okay.
Is it all black and white, or is it color?
Oh, it is color. It's color, and there's sexy super spies, and there's...
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, he did a lot of Star Trek stuff for IDW.
I haven't seen any of his Star Trek stuff.
I haven't read any of it either.
Because then I'd have to read Star Trek stuff, but...
Okay. That's it.
And you're right, he is doing a follow-up to Next Men, which is supposed to start in February, it looks like. It's called Aftermath. So.
Yeah, I think there was a controversy with that. Some story that somebody else wrote was like exactly what he'd planned for that or something like that. I don't remember. He's always controversy.
I can't remember. I think in the time between when he'd planned to write the end of Next Men and then the 10, 15 years in between, I think the story that he had planned to write had shown up elsewhere or not deliberately, I don't think, but just that, you know, in the intervening years, someone happened to come up with the same sort of way that he was going to tell the story or something. So he had to kind of, he cut some stuff out and he rejiggered it and it was fine. I think the after effects stuff is, I don't know if he had originally planned that or not. I don't know if this is like new ideas that he's got, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, the Cold War is a good little placeholder.
Mm-hmm. And it's on Comixology. They have issues 1 through 3 available.
Oh, cool. That's good.
Is it not done? Is number 4 not out yet, Murph?
No, number 4 is, another week or two, I think.
Okay, so that's why number 4 is not there. Okay.
Yeah, you got time to... to read up all the others,
Mm-hmm.
These are really cool covers. Wow.
Yeah, they are.
I've never seen the covers to that. That's good stuff.
Very neat. And it's almost like it's different eras, but it... wow, neat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I recommended.
IDW finally... I think they were doing with another digital comics thing. They finally switched over to... Comicology exclusively, so they're going to have a lot more of their stuff on there.
I will be purchasing it right now as we speak.
There you go.
Just the first issue. I'm not going to commit.
And plus, there it is, Cold War.
Plus the third issue is still full price. So.
Yeah, you can wait. You can grab it.
Yeah.
I shall wait then. Haha.
There you go.
Excellent.
No fool am I.
Alrighty. That was 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're all done with 2, now we're on to 3, correct?
Oh, we're moving on, okay.
Oh, wait.
It's you. You got to do your second one.
You got to do your 2.
Oh, I do? Oh.
Please.
Well, yes. In my case...
Please, Chris, may we have some more?
Oh, sorry. I totally got off out of sync on there. Mine would be, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, and talking about Dynamite stuff, I would say the Bionic Man. Kevin Smith has been often, well, actually, its official title is Kevin Smith's Bionic Man. He's they apparently got the rights from, and I believe NBC Universal to do this comic. The only problem with them, even on Comicsology, is that, well, the newest issue is $3.99. It's a little stiff, but if you can get it at a discount somewhere, it's something to look at. Maybe wait for the trade, but at least look at the preview on Comicsology and kind of see what it is. But it's written. There's a little bit of his third grade humor that he has in some of his movies, but it's just really good. It's an enjoyable book. They bring a lot of the old stuff in. They update it. There's you know, explanations for a lot of things, like where that sound from the TV show comes from. But I've really enjoyed what I've read so far. So.
Did I see that they're going to be doing a Jamie Summers series as well?
As a matter of fact, I'm on Dynamite's page, and it was in the recent previews, the Bionic Woman number one.
Oh, yeah.
So by Paul Tobin and artist Lino Carvalho.
Paul Tobin, very cool.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, I mean, in the first issue, he's actually already dating Jamie Summers. I don't remember what she was doing, but, you know.
She's a tennis pro, right?
Something like that, yeah. I don't remember what the deal was. And so, yeah, they're going to do a spinoff of that, so, with that.
So does Kevin Smith actually write it? I know a lot of times it's Kevin Smith presents and there's actually, he's co-writing or plotting. See. Someone else is doing the scripts or something.
Well, yeah, I think he does a plot. As a matter of fact, it says written by Phil Hester and then comma Kevin Smith. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, Phil Hester's got his fingers in it. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. He does a good job with it. I would imagine a lot of the dialogue's from him. But yeah, I got those sitting right here somewhere. I'd look through them, but you know, we're on. But I got the issues on Comicsology when they had a sale on them. And I think I might, if I can't get them in the comic shop, I might just get them digital. But yeah, it's really good. It's good stuff.
And Dynamite is so good about trading their books. They're so on top that they realize that is a huge source of revenue for them.
Yeah. Okay. So, a clarification: Bionic Man, based on a story by Kevin Smith. This is the first issue. Script by Kevin Smith and. With Phil Hester. So, there you go. Because that's what they did with the Green Hornet. They took the Green Hornet, regular, new Green Hornet, quote-unquote, was actually the script he wrote for the Green Hornet movie, which I wish they'd done that. I never saw the Green Hornet movie because it would just hurt too bad. but that was what he got paid like $100,000 for that, and Dynamite got a hold of it, and they took it, and they made that first Green Hornet series that they did, and it played out for like 20 issues based off of his script, and then Phil Hester took it over, and he's writing it now. So I haven't read it in a long time, but yeah. Art's good. It's a good comic. It's got some, yeah.
I was going to trade weight it. I'm gonna grab it.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to trade weight, yeah.
I'm going to grab issue one, though, off of Comicsology, and then I'll decide whether to trade weight or not. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it didn't get too far in before there was some toilet humor, which, you know, it's Kevin Smith, so.
I read The Boys. They're
Yeah, that's not going to bother you.
No.
It didn't really bother me. It's just like, okay, that was funny, you know. Move on. But anyway, yeah, it's an enjoyable book. They got the first five issues on Comicsology. The fifth one, I don't know what the first four were. I think I got them for 99 cents. They had a sale, but the fifth one is like $3.99, so you could probably wait and it'll go down. Another good book by Dynamite.
Now, who sets the – I'm always curious who sets the price points on Comicsology, whether it's Comicsology or if it's the publisher.
I would imagine it's the publisher, and since it's a licensed thing, that's probably why it's a little higher. One of the reasons why I stopped reading the Green Hornet, it was because they were $3.50. And, you know, so – and they put out – I'm looking here. They got the Green Hornet, the Green Hornet Strikes – the Green Hornet Aftermath, which tied into the movie. The Green Hornet Blood Ties. Green Hornet Parallel Lies, which ties into the movie. Then you got Kato, which would be the new Kato. And then you got Kato Origins, which is the original Kato. And Green Hornet Year One, which is done by Matt Wagner, which is awesome. That's a great book, which is the original Kato. So, I mean, Green Hornet. They got all that stuff tied into it. So, but anyway, go ahead. That's mine.
Good choice. All right. Speaking of licensed products, then, I might as well go there. And we're going back to IDW. And mine is the Infestation miniseries that IDW does. They have secured the right to go ahead and cross over and use a lot of their the stuff that they publish licensed comics for, and cross them over into different stories with this this group of techno vampires keep popping up. The original series had Star Trek, Ghostbusters, G.I. Joe, and Transformers, all their various universes being invaded by these techno vampire character creatures. And they don't really like crossover. It's not like you see, you know, Dr. Venkman fighting with Captain Kirk or Megatron or whatever, but they have a theme going through all the books, and they each had a two-part miniseries tied into bookend titles of Infestation. Popular enough that they're going to do it again with Infestation 2. This time they're going to be doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, Dungeons and Dragons, G.I. Joe, and the obvious one, 30 Days of Nights. I didn't read all the miniseries before, but I did read the Star Trek one, which I think you should, if you haven't read it, Chris, I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know. The zombie thing kind of, you know, unless it's Kirkman, it kind of puts me off, but you know, I'll probably have to find that and trade somewhere.
Oh, give it a shot. I think they traded it. I don't remember how exactly they collected it up, but the whole I enjoyed it. Give it a shot. It's fun if you like some of these. They're even going to do some crossover in this next one. I don't know what they're going to be doing just yet. I didn't read the details, but I guess they're actually going to pull some characters from the various universes and have them interact. So. I think it would be cool to see Snake Eyes versus Donatello or something like that.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
That would be fun, or perhaps a fifth level mage going up against Megatron.
You know, I actually read the first issue of that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was really good.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's back to the the hardcore. It's not the kiddie stuff. It was pretty good. And I've read the Dungeons and Dragons series, the first five or six issues, and that's really good too.
Every one of those that I picked up, I've enjoyed. I was actually going to do Dungeons and Dragons, but I just didn't feel like I could. I've read enough of it.
Yeah.
To talk at least semi intelligently about it, whereas opposed to my normal semi intelligent talk.
Okay then.
But Infestation, again, if you like the licensed books that IDW does, or even Dynamite does, it's kind of in that same vein where they've purchased the right to publish comic book stories about these characters, and somehow IDW convinced whoever the license owners are on these various properties to go and, you know, mess with them. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. Anyhow, fun comic book wank.
Interesting way to put it.
I'm going to go with my next pick, Chew by John Layman and Rob Guillory.
You know, I picked that trade up, the first trade in a whim, and that was actually good. I really liked that.
Yeah,
I haven't got any more yet, but yeah.
I had heard a lot about it, but I hadn't picked up any of the issues. So last year I picked up the first trade, and then I quickly got the rest. So there's four trades out now. I'm pretty sure they're all available on Comixology. Mm. It's an ongoing series put out by Image, and it's a fun book. It's part mystery, part science fiction, I guess. Kind of a cop buddy.
Yeah.
Story too. It's cool. It's about a detective named Tony Chu who has the ability to, what do they say? He's cybopathic, so he gets psychic impressions from whatever he eats.
Yes.
So if he eats a hamburger, he kind of gets impressions from the cow or
what the cow was thinking.
Yeah. So he uses that skill as a detective. So if someone's been murdered, he takes a nibble on the victim and picks up, you know, a psychic impression of their last moments or their life or something, which is it's a neat twist. It's, mm-hmm. and that alone would be interesting enough, but Layman has taken the whole kind of food idea and just kind of woven it throughout the series. So
yeah, I like how in that universe, the bird flu was like a big pandemic and you ended up, the FDA is like more powerful than the FBI.
Exactly. Yeah, like chickens are outlawed. Yeah. KFC has been closed down.
Exactly. Yeah. You got the black market, black market chickens is one of the things they go after. So
yeah, it's cool. Like it's a really neat realized world and mm-hmm. and the whole food theme kind of weaves throughout of it. So Tony Chu's brother is a very famous television chef.
Yeah.
Who sometimes works with chicken. His girlfriend is a food critic who has the ability. Her writing is so powerful that you can actually taste the food as she writes about it.
Yeah.
It's a neat setting for a story and the stories themselves they're neat. Like they're neat little mysteries. They're neat. You know, nobody is, his ability to chew on people and get impressions does not, win him a lot of friends or anything. So he's kind of looked down on in the police force.
Does he bite in live people? He's sitting in an interrogation room. He says, "Here, give me your arm," and takes a
nibble. Well, I mean, he could, right? Like,
well, you could, yeah. He usually only does it as part, you know, like a murder investigation or something like that. From what I remember from the first one, it's been a while since I've read it, but
yeah,
it's pretty entertaining.
It is, and the story just goes in so many different places. You've got like, there's this potential space alien invasion that's kind of floating around the fringes of the story, and you've got you've got sort of a vampire floating around the edges of the story, and you've got his ex-partner and his current partner that they don't tend to get along all that well, but I mean, mm-hmm. four books in, they're forming a bit of a working relationship and stuff, and it's fun, and the art is I love that it suits the book. Like it's cartoony, but it's really expressive. It's well done.
And number one is free online. So
yeah.
From Comixology.
And they actually have, them in collections too, which you save a little money. I've noticed they've got the first four trades, collected. So, you know, four issues, I don't know, might not necessarily save you money. You'd have to look. But they got, you know, the first five issues in there for $5.99. So, but most of the issues are $1.99. So you can pick that up pretty quick.
What a twisted concept. Okay.
I know. That's it. When I remember when it came out, it was just, And that's really what you got to do to make it in comics right now, is you got to come up with something that wacky like that, and people will read it just because of that. And, I mean, when I first heard about that, it's like, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. But then I was like, okay, fine. Everybody's raving about this, and I'll look at the first one. I think I actually did look at the first one online, and then I ended up buying a trade, and it's just like that's just awesome. So it's a really well thought out process. The whole world building he did, and you know, make a reason why, you know, they're following the crimes that they did, and
you definitely get the sense that they're telling a bigger story over the course of each little mini mystery and stuff. And I can't wait to see where it ends up.
Yep.
And he eats dead people. PG. Back to the zombie thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, is it my turn?
It is.
No wonder. It was quiet. Let's see what we got. Okay. This is a DC book. I've heard a lot of, and you know, with present company included, bad comments about it. But Batman and Robin, the new series. I read number 4, and why? Not only has it gotten to be one of the creepiest covers so far in the new universe, but I just. They're actually building on the Batman legend, or actually, well, in this case, I guess it would be resetting it or retelling it. And a lot of the cover of number 4, Patrick Gleason cover, is creepy, but more into, you know, Batman being trained, and the bad guy is somebody that. You find out in this issue, I'm going to spoil it just a little bit to try to maybe get people to read it. But, you know in the Batman Begins movie, Ducard was one of the guys that trained him. Well, that was actually from way back in the 60s or 70s, that character. Well, this guy that he's trying to cause him trouble right now, and he's calling himself Nobody, is Ducard's son. And there's a mention of, you know, Damian says, it isn't, you know, Ducard was one of the 4 that trained you. And, you know, Bruce Wayne says, well, actually there were 6, but yes, and then he talks about how, you know, he was basically a bounty hunter for Interpol and the most dangerous criminals and so on and so forth, and he usually killed them and whatever, and that's what this is coming from. And Nobody is there because he doesn't like the way Bruce Wayne is handling things, that he should be doing it the way his father wanted it to be done, which is going Punisher on them and killing the bad guys so they're not bothering people, you know.
So this is the generation versus the generations thing, right? So we got the son of Ducard against is it going to come down to that Nobody versus Robin, you think?
Well, it's not going to be versus. He's watched him from afar one time when he was out solo and beat the living crap out of a kid. He's still got that killer instinct. It's not completely gone. All those years of training that he got from the League of Assassins, he's having to hold back all the time. Well, he sees him not hold back, and he's trying to pull him away and make him do what he was quote unquote born to do. And it's the way that Damian and Dick Grayson integrated, you know, work together. They came to a mutual agreement kind of like that. And they saw he treated him like an equal, which is what Bruce Wayne did to Dick Grayson when they were after a while. Well, Bruce Wayne isn't doing that. He's treating him like his son, not like his partner, and that's where the conflict is coming. So you got these two forces going together here, and it's just an interesting story to me. And the fact that they're talking about, you know, the new 52 background of the Batman – they're bringing some of those old elements back, I'm loving it. I really am.
Yeah, I'm not keeping up on the Green Lantern stuff, as you know.
Yeah.
But I like that in the Batman books, and it sounds like they're doing it with this one, is that, yeah, they didn't start over from scratch like they did with a lot of the other characters, but they are saying, you know what, we've got a whole new universe. You know what, we can go ahead and twist and expand the mythos, the Batman mythos, because it's okay now, because it's a brand new world. Why not? And I think that's cool, and I like the idea that, you know, they're revisiting Bruce Wayne's training, because that almost with bringing in Dick Grayson last year, the last 2 years, got an opportunity to revisit how he was trained, and so let's revisit how Batman was trained, because that almost seems like they moved past that in the old universe, and they can revisit it here, especially
that's exactly what it is, because, you know, eventually Damian started trusting Dick, and in fact he
woof sorry
yeah he they came to it, you know, they came to respect each other, and he even denounced his mother and so he could stay with them, which was a big thing, and that just kind of shows he's got a lot to prove, and he just like wants Bruce Wayne to just immediately accept him and treat him like, you know, but he's still 8-9 years old, you know.
Is he that young? Really?
Yeah, he's really young.
Wow.
He just seems a little older because of what he's been through. And the fact that he's, you know, an arrogant little shit. But, see, that if you didn't read the other series that much, he got over a lot of that, and it's like he's starting over now because he's with his father and not with Grayson. And that's why it's like the friction is there. They haven't come to that understanding that him and Grayson did.
I'm not following Nightwing very – I mean, I'm kind of glancing at it on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
But are they – was Dick Grayson Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
They talked about that in the first issue a little bit. But okay. Yeah, he was, and now they didn't go into it much. He was, and now he's not.
Okay, so they did. So Dick Grayson and Damian did in fact have a partnership for a while. Okay.
In fact, Batwing, the one that is being solicited now, is going to have. He goes to Gotham City. Bruce Wayne, Batman, Batgirl, Damian, and Nightwing are all going to team up to do something. So that should be interesting.
A big crossover.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to bring Batwoman in as well.
I don't think so, but yeah. That title really hasn't – that title, I think – I don't know how far ahead they got, but that was written, you know, before all this 52 stuff, and it's got to catch up, I think, a little bit, because I know they've edited out some pictures of characters that don't exist anymore in one issue. So, but anyway.
So the DC is finally starting to do what Marvel does, which is have their own little within the big universe, their own little mini universe crossovers.
Cool. I think so. Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
Good.
And Winnick has written all of those characters because he wrote the Batman and Robin, the first series, and he's written Batman too, so it should be a pretty good
Well, there goes another $10.
I mean, I think it's really getting interesting now, because this nobody character is trying to seduce Damian to the dark side, basically. He's already got that killer instinct. He just wants him to stop holding back and do what he thinks, and that's what's so interesting about it right now. That first issue wasn't the strongest issue, and a lot of those 52 books was like that. The second issue was a lot better, and as up to four, I think there's a really good story there that if you didn't like the first one, maybe you need to go back and maybe read all of them, you know, all at once and see where it's going. But that's my plea to people to not sell Batman and Robin short.
I just got another, I just got a show idea. So
go ahead. Oh, good. All right then. All right then.
Okay. My next, probably like Batman and Robin, maybe doesn't necessarily need a plug in order to kick sales up, but just a reminder that it's out there. New Mutants from Marvel. Hmm. After the recent Schism storyline, they broke off as their own little team of X-Men, calling themselves New Mutants. We've got classic characters, Warlock, Cypher, Magma, Sunspot, and Daniel Moonstar.
Cypher's back, huh?
Cypher's back. But they're joined this time by the alternate Nathan Gray X-Man.
He's
also part of the team. It's written by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning of Legion and also the Galactic stories over in Marvel. Mm. They're writing this book. The art is a little off. It's not traditional superhero-y looking art. There's a lot of humor thrown in this book. But these characters have grown up. They're not the kid New Mutants that we might have all been reading back in the day. They're now their own strike team going out, and basically their mission statement is to go off and finish stories essentially that were never quite cleaned up in X-Men books over the past decades. They're currently hunting down Blink, who had disappeared briefly. And their goal is to go make sure she's okay. And of course, in that process, they find out she's not okay. They've rented a loft out in San Francisco, so they're not living on Utopia with the rest of the mutants.
Hmm.
It's fun. Again, this is, I guess, a running theme for me is it's a fun superhero book. They get their butts kicked. They fight bad guys. They go to other dimensions, et cetera, et cetera. But they have fun doing it. The dialogue is witty. The art is expressive. The characters interact really well. Yes, it is the traditional. They've kind of harkened back and sucked in characters from, you know, that we all would like to see the New Mutants. But that's okay. They've all grown up. They're adults now. As a matter of fact, Daniel Moonstar has no powers. She is completely powerless. She's still a Valkyrie, apparently. She can see death, and she has her horse is somewhere grazing. But she's a leader of the team, a non-powered leader of a bunch of extremely powerful characters.
Yeah, I think I read the first issue or two of that because she got hit in that M event where Scarlet Witch said no more mutants, and like all of them lost their powers except for like 200 or so or whatever, which is why all the mutants are kind of working together, even the quote-unquote bad ones, because there's not that very many left. I thought that was an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, they're pulling back on that, it seems, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure there's like, oh, well, they're having mutants are being born now. That's all they got to do.
Well, they're also there was a miniseries with what is that young. Not Young Avengers. What are they called? The David the Heinberg did those characters.
Isn't it Young Avengers?
Young Avengers. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing a miniseries where they're basically trying to undo that, which is going to lead into the big X Avengers crossover for 2012.
Yes, I remember that. I've been seeing that a lot of that in the previews this time around.
Scarlet Witch will be the big bad or the big good, who knows? But
there was controversy about the cover too. That Frank Cho cover. Did you hear about that?
No.
Somebody says that the way that they drew Scarlet Witch's cape up around how it's up and like that looked like a piece of female anatomy.
Well, let me go search the internet for that one right now.
And I mean, if you go in knowing that that's what somebody said, well, yeah, I can see it. But if somebody had said this, like, I wouldn't have thought that. You know, it's just people just have too much time on their hands, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, here I am searching, scouring the internet. New Mutants is my number four pick. Again, I'm sure the sales are just fine on the book, but I think it gets overlooked. I think it got it doesn't get the play that the the X-Men proper get, including even X-Force. I think X-Force still even gets more publicity than New Mutants because they nothing controversial about it, nothing over the top about it, just fun superhero. Well, I'll use it again. Wank.
I might have to look that up to see. I'm not sure if I understand what that means. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it means it. Oh, my goodness.
All right, my turn.
It does kind of look female anatomy-ish.
Yeah, okay. When you go with that, it's like I looked at it, reading the article, and I looked at it, I'm like, I don't see anything. And I read the article, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I do see that.
Now that's all I can see.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, go ahead.
Oh, look, there's Scarlet Witch and Hope there as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
all right,
go ahead, man.
Alrighty. The next book I'm going to choose is put out by Oni Press. It is called The Sixth Gun. I've talked about it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I've been meaning to read that.
It's good. It's written by Cullen Bunn, illustrated by Brian Hurt. And it's, I want to say there's about 17 or 18 issues out now. They are all available on Comixology. There's definitely one trade, probably two. I want to say just two.
Oh,
but maybe there's a third one available.
Good price, too. $1.99. They got 17 issues.
Yeah, it is a good... It's well done. It's kind of Civil War era America, except you add in the ghosts and the monsters and the... Mm-hmm. The evil undead and go from there.
Yeah. I remember reading the Free Comic Book Day edition of that. It was interesting and I never did go any further with it.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. It's
the first issue is free on Comicology.
Yes, you can get the first issue for free and then go from there.
If it's free, it is me.
Yes. It's set up in kind of 5 or 6 issue story arcs, mm-hmm. So they're pretty easy to pick up. And even if you kind of come in the middle of an arc, I find
that. Hello, welcome to the call. Sorry.
I'll be back.
Okay. So that Sixth Gun, that looks good.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I haven't. I've read a couple of issues of 100 Bullets, and I that's what I thought we were going to be going for there. But maybe I need to reevaluate my assessment.
Yes, it's a supernatural Western kind of thing. So, and if I'm not mistaken, the Sixth Gun, it actually there's like these 6 mystical guns, right? Isn't that the kind of the thing?
That's true. Each of the guns has like a specific power or a specific use, and the last gun, the sixth gun, has sort of the power of divination or being able to see the future. And the sixth gun or the 6 guns themselves are supposed to be kind of cursed, and whoever has possession of the 6 guns is sort of you're kind of living on borrowed time, sort of, or...
Friday the 13th every day?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, they're looking to... The villains are trying to collect the 6 guns so that when they have all 6 of them, they are able to, I don't know, bring about the end of the world or you know.
Kind of like it. The gems on the Infinity Gauntlet or something.
You took
like
the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, you're thinking the same thing? Yeah.
Totally, totally.
That's freaky, dude.
Yeah, at the moment, the first storyline is kind of like a quest as the characters look to gather up the guns. Mm-hmm. And then the following storylines, adventure ensues as they try to keep the guns out of the hands of various peoples.
Hmm. Boy, they could keep that going forever.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, it's I don't know that there's an ending planned at this point. It's it's ongoing, and they've been able to keep the story moving along, exploring different angles, exploring different characters' backstories and stuff, and I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Nice. Yeah, that looks interesting. Just look through it there. Okay.
Diversity ensues. Okay.
Yeah. My next one would be Irredeemable by Mark Waid and, well, different artists, but I think Peter Krause is usually the one, which I've talked to him on Twitter. He's a nice guy. Basically, okay, I've talked about Mark Waid plenty on this podcast. I think he's probably, if not the, but one of the best writers in comics. Not without his controversies, but I just love his work. It seems like all of his stuff is a three-dimensional, got a kind of a three-dimensional quality to it. And this is, I think, I started reading it by issues, but I'm doing trades now. And the seventh trade just came out recently. Basically, the premise of this is, what if the greatest superhero in the world went bad? And boy, does he go bad. We talked earlier about The Boys, how it goes in places that you wouldn't think, and some of them are over the top. I'm thinking this is Mark Waid unleashed. No holds barred. Just completely no, you know, whatever. And the main character that goes bad is called Plutonian, and it is obviously a Superman amalgam or a clone, however you want to put it. That's what it's just based on. When you watch some of the interactions and they're thinking back to before he went bad, the stuff is just like reading, you know, Silver Age Superman stories, the way things were set up with a secret identity and so on and so forth, and his adopted parents and the whole bit. And something happens, which you read about, and he just completely goes against the world, starts leveling cities, so on and so forth. And the places this thing goes, I mean, and there's all these superhero characters that are, you know, if you read any kind of DC stuff, I think they're more DC-like characters, you know, like Hawkman and Wonder Woman and things like that in there than any Marvel stuff. But this was the first title he wrote after he went to Boom, and he was like the editor-in-chief. Well, he's back to freelancing now, but he's still writing this and putting this out. And it never ceases to amaze me. There's no way, even with all the reading of comics and superhero stories I've done, you're never going to get where this is going to go next. And it's just absolutely, some of it is just outrageous. Looks at the Lex Luthor-Superman relationship a little differently, if you get my drift. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Ooh,
hubba hubba. Yeah, it was. I kind of give away a big thing of the plot. You know, once you probably forget, because this is so engaging. It's like I said, these characters are three-dimensional, and this is probably Mark Waid at his best. Like I said, no holds barred, definitely mature. Well, this is up 15 and up on here. I would think, yeah, okay, that'd be fine.
it sounds like a mix or kind of a toned it down, if you will, version of The Boys, in that, you know,
well,
those are not pure by any stretch.
Oh no, they act like regular people. Well, it's like it's just like he never did. He's probably, I've heard from what I've read, he's probably the biggest Superman fan ever, and he got a chance to write the origin at one time, and it wasn't even barely noticed of Superman. And then he fell out of favor with both the big two. And this is just like, might be a hate letter to superheroes almost. It's more, I think it's closer to his work. I don't know if you ever read Empire.
Yeah.
It's closer to that than The Boys, I would think. But toned down, well, you know things happen. He doesn't actually have to show it. And that's kind of the Alfred Hitchcock thing. And that's kind of why I have a problem with The Boys. The things that happen in that book can happen, but they don't necessarily have to show it like they showed it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's, I think, the line there. And that's why I think I could I read this and not the other. And it's like when I get a new volume of this, I can't stop reading it. I read the whole thing all the way through, and you know, and I'm like, holy crap, when is the next one coming out? You know, the guy that runs the comic shop that I go to is a big fan, and he's like, he just got through reading the latest issue, and he said, I just think Mark Waid should write every comic book out there. That's what he said, you know. But yeah, this is, I think this is his best work, and that's why it's still going on. And it's just the stuff that comes out there, you know, you got the a twist on, which he wrote, the JLA story where Batman had all these secret plans to stop superheroes if they went bad. Well, they got that in here too with a twist, and it's just out there. So, yeah.
Does the world at large see the superheroes as still good guys, and it's just they're sort of behind the scenes? They're
well, okay. The superheroes that survived the initial him going insane, they have to go in hiding.
Okay.
Because we're talking about somebody that at Superman level of power, he can hear a fly fart on the other side of the Earth. You know, I mean that kind of power level. You know, flying in space without any kind of help. And well, one time he got mad at one point and he leveled the entire city of Singapore, you know, just by an island. He used like heat vision type stuff and made a solid flame that he could push on, and he just ran into it until he pushed the damn island underwater into the ocean. I mean, you know, that's what we're talking about. So they hide for a while, and then they're doing all this stuff. They're trying to find out, you know, why he went nuts. And then they realize they don't really know anything about him. They don't know, you know, who his parents are, how he grew up, where his powers came from, any of that stuff. So they're like, that's what the first arc is like trying to find out. And it just spirals downward from there. And then a couple of them, you know, yeah, it depends on, you know, it's a big fat gray area is what it is.
I love this quote that I'm reading here online. Mm-hmm. This is a quote from the main character, the Plutonian. It says, "You do astounding things for them 100 times a day. You bring wonder to the lives of ordinary people. And in the end, you realize it's like doing magic tricks for a dog."
Yeah. See, that was the underlying thing to it. You know, he'd hear, you know, it's if Superman didn't have a thick skin, I could see him doing that because he does all this stuff. And well, and if you find out about his past some and what happened to his parents and you know, accidents that happened and you know, so yeah, it and he works so hard to try to please everybody, and you know, like okay. In the Superman, you know, in original, not now, but in the old universe, Superman eventually told Lois Lane he was Superman and everything was all hunky-dory. Well, he tells, you know, his love interest that he's really Plutonian, and it doesn't go so well. And that adds to the stress in his mind. And, yeah, it's a great character study for sure. So I'm looking forward to reading the next volume.
I just found a nice cheap copy of Trade Paperback number one for less than $4.
There you go.
I think. Well, look at that new. It's only $5.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You look at that first trade. I think you can even read the first issue on Comicsology for free. I'm not really sure.
No, I'm all in or all out on this one. So.
Okay, yeah, I highly recommend it. And since it's all, you know, it's traded. There's only like they have done good, and that's one of the reasons why I stopped, because you get those issues are like $350 a piece, but the trades were actually priced where you're actually saving money, you know, and still reading it. So.
Yeah, it's not that much more expensive to buy the trade of the first, what is it, 5 or 6 issues than to buy the first issue alone.
Yeah, I think the cover price on that first one's only $10 anyway.
It's crazy talk.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's a good book. If you can go through that first trade and don't like it, then I'm totally, you know, I mean, for me, that's how great it is, but, you know.
All right.
That's my number 2.
The seal of approval. Mm-hmm. Well, my last pick here is a fairly new series. It's not even 2 years old, but it is an ongoing from Vertigo. It is iZombie.
Oh, I meant to pick that up.
Yeah, I read the first trade of that. That's good.
Yeah, I read of this book, honestly, like you, is the first trade. Mm-hmm. But I am I've got the second trade coming to my local comic book store. I'm getting it from, I think he might already be waiting for me there. It just came out a couple months ago, and the third trade's coming out next year. I would love to do this as a monthly, but I read one of the single issues and it was great, but I don't want to wait.
I have a feeling that's a slow burn kind of thing, and you probably get frustrated with it, the character building, if you read it monthly. So, yeah, I would get it and trade myself. I have the second one ready to read. I just haven't got to it.
Yeah, I'm dying to read the second one because the first trade actually kind of – not on, it didn't end on a cliffhanger, but it ended with questions, which is great. It's clearly an ongoing thing. The concept is cool with this, the twist on the zombie concept where she, the main character Gwen can live a normal life, but she just, you know, once a month she needs to go out and eat brains.
What's wrong with that?
And in her day job, so to speak, she's a grave digger at a local cemetery, so she knows where the fresh corpses are.
Yeah.
She goes in on that once a month thing, and again. I know that's a twist on the once a month thing with women, but that was a given from the start.
I never thought of that, but yeah.
She knows where a good fresh corpse is. She goes in and she bitches about how it tastes, but she knows she needs to do it or she's going to lose her her ability to think, and she's going to go all zombie-fied, like Walking Dead zombies.
And then there's the twist. Where she gets the memories.
Yeah, and that's very cool. Where she starts having to almost figure out why these people died, you know, and reliving their lives, and finds out more about the people that she's eating. I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, that's the part that really got me. And my wife read the back of the first trade, and she's even was interested in reading it. She has yet to do so, but it is on her desk to read. So,
and then there's Roberson, who's the writer on this, brings in other monsters into it. He's got a ghost in there with Ellie, the 1960s lighty cover girl ghost. Got a were-terrier, Spot.
I love that.
As opposed to a werewolf. There's vampires in there.
And vampire hunters.
Vampire hunters. I think it was alluded that there's a mummy, but we haven't actually seen him. He's more of a zombie-type character, like Gwen. And so on. I really enjoyed it. I'm not usually a fan of Mike Allred art either. I liked Madman enough back in the day, but... it always was very stiff, Ditko-ish kind of stuff. But he's brought – maybe it's the coloring by his wife, Laura Allred, or something. But it's very fluid, and it fits the tone of the story very well. Enjoying it an awful lot. And I will be getting the second trade. It's good dialogue. It's good characters. The setting's one that I don't know. So anybody from Eugene, Oregon, let me know if it looks like how Eugene really looks.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's a big...
I think I drove by there once. I don't think I've ever been there.
I'm sure it was rainy.
Yeah, it probably was.
I mean, that's a bitch that all of us have at one time or another, is when they portray a city that we know or have lived in, mm-hmm. It just completely wrong in a comic book. I couldn't read the Wonder Man comic book back in the day because it was set in Hollywood. It's like, this is not Hollywood. I realize it's a superhero comic, but yeah. For Christ's sake, it looked nothing like Hollywood.
Yeah, you're actually Irredeemable. Plutonian actually mentioned Tupelo, Mississippi. So,
but did he visit Tupelo?
No, so, he did visit, though, but no. Anyway.
So far the whole thing is set up there in Eugene, at least in the first trade. I'd be interested to see if it branches out to the rest of the world, but it almost doesn't need to. It seems like it's the hot spot for supernatural craziness.
Oh, kind of like Sunnyvale and Buffy.
There you go, exactly.
Over exactly. Hellmouth.
The Hellmouth, I was about to say, yeah. I recommend it. I don't know if it necessarily needs a push. I don't know what its numbers are. You know, and I know Vertigo has a lower threshold than DC proper. So.
I think it's in the 20s now.
So. No, I mean in terms of sales.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Somebody going through a wind tunnel?
Oh, sorry. I faced the fan.
Ah, okay.
I have several computers on in here, and it's getting a little warm.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's 40 freaking degrees here in Phoenix. So.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly there, but it's probably 68 degrees out in the living room, but in here it's almost 76 degrees, so it's getting a little warm.
That's heavenly.
It's way too warm for me.
It's sweltering in Tupelo, whereas in Phoenix, for some reason, we got frost on the windows. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty chilly outside, but it's warm in here.
That's right, Murray. We, in fact, do get frost in Phoenix.
All right.
iZombie finishes my list of five that you should be keeping an eye out for.
That is a good one. I have read that first trade, and I agree with you totally.
I remember hearing about it when it was coming out, and I meant to pick it up, and our store, I don't think.
Yeah. Along that line, Chris Roberson is an excellent writer. He's the one that's doing the Star Trek Legion crossover, which is doing an excellent job, because I know a lot about both of those and the way he's doing it. All those different elements merged together, it's great. One of my backup ones, Elric, The Balance Lost. If you've ever read any of the Elric books by Michael Moorcock, I thought it was a limited series, but it actually looks like it's an ongoing. I've read the first four, maybe five issues of it, and it's just an excellent book. He's a really good writer.
Excellent. All right. My last pick is not an ongoing at all. Mm-hmm. However, it's one I think that everyone should be reading. Okay. We went and we saw Tintin on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Christmas. Anyway, we went and saw Tintin. Awesome movie. Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good stuff about it.
It's really good. Like, definitely not needed to be in 3D at all. But
I've decided I am not watching movies in 3D, period. if I can in any way avoid it. But go ahead.
Yeah. I guess they made it for 3D, but it's neat to see though. Everything sort of in 3D, but there's nothing shooting out at you, or there's no, like, yeah. If you're expecting things flying out at your face, that's not happening. But it's neat to see, like, that third dimension when you're watching it. However, very good adventure movie. It's like, it's so cool. Anyway, which brings us to the comics. Everyone should have read, if they haven't already read, Tintin. It is such a good series. I remember growing up reading it. It would be in the library. We would, like, pick out volumes of it, and I would read it, like, every time I went to the library, it would either be Asterix and Obelix or it would be Tintin. Everyone should, at some point in their life, read a Tintin, because they're amazing. They're great little adventure stories, and they're told with such character and with such beautiful artwork. Everyone should be reading them. At some point, if you have never read a Tintin, you've got to go out and, like, pick one up. It's kind of like Indiana Jones-ish adventure stories. A young little reporter and his little white puffy dog, Snowball, and they travel the world and they seek out stories and they get embroiled in little adventures and it's they're great. They're awesome.
I'm actually right now reading my first Tintin in probably 30 years. I'm reading the one that I think the movie is loosely based on, which is the Crab with the Golden Claws.
Yeah, that's part of it for sure.
And I had forgotten how just again fun they are, and I love the lettering of the dialogue in there and the stuff that they don't show in there and the subtleties that is it. I think it's Hergé is how the guy's name is pronounced. That he uses in the books. You're right. It's not an ongoing series, but there's so many of these stories. It could be an ongoing series.
Yeah, and they're in so many different formats. Like you can get the bigger size floppy versions. You can get little hardcover collections of three or four of them together.
Those would be good for kids, I take it too.
Yeah.
I barely know anything about the characters, why I ask.
They were written for kids for sure, but they were written so many years ago. I don't know if kids today, I'd like to think kids today would still enjoy them, but they're written in very much an old world kind of style. Like they're definitely not a modern type of book, but I would like to think kids would still enjoy them.
Yeah.
Well, like the one I'm reading was originally published in 1941, for goodness sake.
Yeah. I knew the character was old, but I wasn't sure how old.
Mm-hmm. My daughter, I tried to get her actually to read this too, The Crab with the Golden Claws, and she's just not into it, but I'll try again in a couple years when she's like 12 or 14. I'll put it back out for her, and I'm actually going to be buying some more of these large size. I have the large size edition that you were talking about.
Yeah.
The Life magazine size.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Or like that the damn tabloid. it looks really good in that size. I haven't looked at it in the shrunk down format. Is it come across as crisp? Like the large format?
I think it loses something in the smaller version. Like Hergé tended to use like a lot of panels per page. So when it shrinks down, I think it loses a little something. I mean, the story's still there and everything, but it could just be that I'm used to growing up with the bigger version. And so to me, that's what it ought to look like regardless. Yeah, I like the big version.
Good choice. Funny. I'm in the process of reading that one. So.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I barely anything about. I've heard of the character before, but I don't know anything about it. I'll have to.
You look go at to that. The book library. It'll be there.
Library. Yeah. Okay.
The free book place.
Oh, that place. Okay.
Yes.
All right, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. I think we have a library. Yeah, we have a library here. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We're not that backwater. Well, all right then. I believe it's my turn.
It is.
And this is a book, believe it or not, from Marvel that I'm about to talk about. One of the only two books from them that I'm reading right now. Talked about it many times on the podcast. Daredevil, the new Daredevil, by often mentioned Mark Waid. This is a fun comic book. If anybody's known about, you know, Daredevil went bad at one point, and he came back, and, you know, they had a Daredevil Reborn series. I hadn't even read that, but I remember seeing that stuff, and I picked it up because Mark Waid's reading it, and it's just, I love it. It's got the swashbuckler kind of thing going on. Wade knows how to write Daredevil's powers in such a way that it makes it interesting, and it puts it up to another level. And he's once again made this character three dimensional. It's 7 issues in so far, so you know if you haven't picked it up, there's still time. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Marvel does not want to put it online. At least that I've found it. Now, they do have a separate Marvel app that's still powered by Comicsology that they've been having a sale on. I didn't see – now I got an iPad from work. I didn't see anything on there on that. So, you know, we talked about this on the Facebook page. There must be some kind of residual thing that's keeping that from happening. But anyway, it's a really, really high quality book. Look forward to reading it whenever it comes out.
It's a top of the pile book for me.
Yeah, I'd have to say it is. And I've gotten so behind on stuff that I ended up reading the 6th and the 7th issue back to back.
Oh man, that one with the kids. Wow.
Yeah, that was awesome. Wasn't that awesome? Now, see, he wrote a Spider-Man story in one of the trades I got back when he started, you know, he was starting to do more Marvel stuff that was a lot like that. Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, was in, like, a subway, and he got attacked by the Shocker, I think, the one with the vibro gauntlets. Uh-huh. And it was that same kind of thing. He's, like, holding up this whole big piece of the subway to let people out, and it was got dark enough he was able to put the mask on so nobody, you know, knew who he was, and you know, all his clothes were tattered and his costume was underneath, and it was a lot like that. But yeah, that issue 7 was awesome, absolutely awesome.
Yeah, what happened in Murray is Matt Murdock yearly takes this group of blind kids up to a cabin every year. And on the way there this year, the bus that they're all in crashes, and of course the bus driver dies. You know, the only guy who can see on the whole bus. Mm-hmm. So Matt Murdock is wearing his costume under the his regular clothes, but he has to take this group of what is it, 6 or 8 kids, blind kids,
something like that,
through the snow and find someplace, some shelter, because the bus is not usable anymore because it's on fire.
Yeah, and it's like almost in Canada, so it's really, really cold.
It's cold. There's lots of pelts. It's cold. There's no super villains in this. It's just, Daredevil or Matt Murdock, you know, he almost takes it for granted that he's got these other senses to go on because he's blind. He's not really blind like these kids are, and he has to deal with he has to remember that.
Yeah, and the fallen snow's like chaff.
Yeah,
for his radar sense, so he's can only see a couple feet in front of him. So you know, it's something. And they do a good thing with the cover, because like the cover shows Daredevil like on top of a water tower in a New York skyline. He's making the snow angel. So hilarious. Yeah, so then you get to the book, and I'm like, whoa, this is serious, you know? So, yeah, it's some good stuff. It really is. Everybody's still there?
I agree. Good choice.
Because it totally sets your mind in a different tone. And then it's like, all of a sudden, wham, it's life or death, you know?
Yeah. And the concept with what they're going to do with the legal firm is also very cute, funny. Yeah,
I like that too.
So, wow, good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that particular issue hooked me for sure. I mean, I was already hooked, but it really hooked me. So.
Yeah, and I will be getting the trades of this book, even though I'm getting the monthly. I'm still going to get the trades.
Yeah, I think I will too. I do that with ones I really like.
Now the question is, can this book survive without Wade? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I don't know how long. I don't know what his contract is. Well, he's a freelancer, so they'd probably just let him stay on it till he gets tired of it. Or, you know, we want a new direction, and then all of a sudden, you know, Daredevil's bad again.
I was just about to say New Direction, like what they did with him on Legion. So
yeah, good lord, those are like the three you know, bold New Direction has got to be the worst words that ever were uttered to comic fans and comic professionals alike, I think. So anyway, that's what we got.
There's 15 options for people. So
yeah, a couple others I mentioned. Anybody had any backups that they wanted to mention?
I didn't. I was banking that you guys wouldn't pick my five. So
yeah, it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, totally. Me too. I was thinking. I mean, the only ones I would have added probably would have been like Batwoman or Flash. But I mean, they don't need the.
I think people are reading those.
Yeah.
I might have added in like Fables or.
I'm reading that in trade, and I've only got into like the third one so far.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, I might have mentioned like Captain America or something. You know, just something that didn't really need a push.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Fables, I got the latest previews, and they're putting out another Fable series.
Yeah, the
it's called Fairest.
Yeah, with Cinderella and Snow White. It's going to have all the female characters as the focus.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Should be. So here's my show idea, guys. Tell me if you're willing to buy into this.
Are we still recording this part?
We're still recording.
Okay, all right, go for it.
This will be for a future next week or maybe the week after if you have the time to do it. Is pick one of the books that the other guys talked about. Like, I got to pick one from each of you.
Oh, okay, I see.
And read it and give kind of a not a review but thoughts. Like you know,
that is a good idea.
Totally.
I was taking notes that what you guys are reading. I'll have to listen to the episode
again. You know, and you know, no cheating. I think we're all reading Shade, so I don't think it's fair to, you know, to
take Shade.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe grab up a copy of The Boys, Chris. And
I have access.
Put it in a brown paper bag.
I have access to the entire series, I think, in one form or another. Friend of mine hooked me up.
So just a thought, you know, and I'm the reason I thought of it is like, okay, maybe I will retry Batman and Robin. I thought, okay, well, now we have a show idea, or at least a part of a show idea.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I'm willing to do that.
Totally.
I'm willing to do that.
So now we got to post and remind each other what the five were.
Yeah, that would be good if we do that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I know Paul. I'm not going to say that. You know, I know Paul hasn't read it yet because, you know, it's not digital, but I might be able to. I think I have an extra issue, and I owe them some rings anyway. I might throw my extra issue number one in there in the box and, you know, hook him that way. So. Don't tell him, everybody.
As a reminder, a crossover thing, if anybody has a Legion ring, I'd love the idea what they're doing on Facebook and the Legion.
I just finally came up with it. I didn't want to get into the contest because I probably already have all those comics they want to give away anyway, but and let everybody else have a chance. But I came up with one the other day. I'm going to post later on. So
take a picture of yourself with your Legion flight ring, post it on the Legion of Substitute Podcasters Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
So. Any case,
yeah.
Cross promotion like they needed it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they do. They cross promote us sometimes.
True.
Well, at least Paul does. Scott pretends like we don't have a podcast.
Though Murray, you did a guest appearance on their Christmas episode. Yes, so.
And I was there.
Yeah, that was very cool to hear you on there. And Paul mentioned that you were on our podcast too. So that's cool.
Yeah, we got a little plug there.
Yeah, that's good. That's always good.
Where do you have time to work? You're doing podcasts all week.
Oh, that's right. He's off right now.
Work, schmirk.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Wait till September.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
September.
I'm back to grumpy old working man.
September? September?
Yeah, I know. It's rough.
So it's just pelting and trapping and potting then.
Yeah. Yep. I have months and months to hang around.
September.
Wow. That's a lot.
The year
it's rough.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I think that's it for this week. Anybody got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, this will be out in the new year.
Yes, it will.
So hope you had a Happy New Year.
Yes, hope you had a safe and Happy New Year when you, listen to this. So stay out of jail.
Hey, for Christmas, I got Batman Arkham City for my Xbox.
Ooh,
so
I have it for PC.
Comic book. Comic book plug. Sorry, I just had to mention that. That was my one comic book themed Christmas gift.
Oh, well, I got the other thing I got was the DC Comics Year by Year, A Visual Chronicle. It came out on its 75th anniversary.
Oh, it's all
big, huge, honking thing. They had them on sale at the local Costco / Sam's, whichever you have. So okay. I sent a text to my wife, and she actually bought it.
Very good. It's lovely when they listen.
Yes, it is. So that's why. That's how I got my Invisible thing. I sent it, forwarded to her, and said, this would make a really great gift. And what do you know? It shows up at the house. So, yes, they can take – I can take a hint, but apparently my wife can take a hint too. So not to, it really wasn't a hint. It was more like a sledgehammer. But anyway. All right. So –
The difference is they don't have to take a hint, and we do.
This is true. That's very, right. Very good point. Okay, well, if you want to contact us and let us know what you think of the podcast, ideas, complaints, whatever, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. You can check us out on our Facebook group. Just do a search for Tales from the Long Box on Facebook. Can't miss us. I'm not even going to mention the forums we have. What else? That's about it. iTunes. You can put a comment in iTunes and rate us and all that good stuff. I have no idea how many people are downloading us that way. I know we get a couple hundred downloads a episode, so.
Yeah.
So we're doing
good to know. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, it's up to like around a 300-400 range, so we've got some listeners out there.
Cool.
International, in fact.
Woo!
We appreciate everybody listening and all the feedback we get in the Facebook forums. So anyway, hope you had a safe and happy new year. And until next time, this is us signing off.
Bye-bye.
And goodbye. All right.
Cool.
149. All right. Sweet.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I got to get ready for lunch and I'm gonna go see a movie and then go play cards and eat pizza.
Just wonderful.
The wonderful game of Nerds.
Have a good new year.
I cool. believe you will.
Stay safe.
All right. You too, man.
Catch you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.